Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Autumn in Central Florida. That's right, you got the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show coming to you live once again from the Mercury Free Studio Complex. Don't forget to give my dentist a call, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. And don't forget to ask him about his great book, Mercury Free. You need to get a copy or two of that thing and find out what it's all about. And, of course, that's why you tune in here, to find out what it's all about. And we project authenticity day in and day out. I am Christopher Hart, and joined once again by the chairman of the board, Mike McBath. And
Chris, I'm still suffering from, I don't know if you saw that email from the Player Association, but my picks last week, I was 6-10, the worst I've been in my lifetime. Too many upsets, but we'll go through some
I'm
of that tomorrow.
I'm glad I couldn't get through to my bookie this past week.
Oh, I know. I'm glad, too, because unfortunately, not great.
Nicholas Cicero is on the battle bridge, so you can give us a call at 407-774-8255. Real quick, before we get rolling here, we have an author on the show today. And, boy, is this ever timely, because, you know, just yesterday, General David Petraeus spoke in front of Congress. And he called the situation over in the Middle East a geopolitical Chernobyl. In other words, a meltdown.
Isn't
going
that
on over
comforting,
yeah,
Chris?
Well,
oh, boy.
Yeah.
I feel good about
then,
that.
Then today it was announced that the ISIS czar, I didn't even know we had an ISIS czar, but the ISIS czar has left the administration over evidently disagreements over how to conduct the war, if you want to call it that, the action, let's just say, against ISIS, the Islamic State.
But Chris, so, didn't we have a bunch of czars, though, at the beginning of Obama's term?
Yeah.
Are they still around?
I reckon so. I guess so.
Where do they go, or where do they have an office, or are they mostly at Del Frisco's? Or?
See, that's the problem with 99 out of 100 government employees. We don't know where they are.
Whatever
we don't know what they're
them.
Doing, and we certainly don't know what they're good for.
So, I'm glad to know that there was one left. I didn't know. You know, I hope they're all gone. But, I mean, it's nice to see he really took the high road and said goodbye.
Yeah, evidently. Hopefully he will come and speak out. Maybe he'll call
great.
Him to testify in front of Congress.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to have the best-selling author and the world's foremost infidel authority on Islam, Robert Spencer, on the show with us today. And he's written a new book called The Complete Infidel's Guide to ISIS. And I've been reading it here for several days now, and it is the complete guide. I mean, he tells you who they are. He names them, individuals. Tells you where they came from, how they got involved, how ISIS started as the Islamic State in Iraq, and who started it there and why, and where they're at today and what they are up to. So I'm sure that that's going to be a fascinating interview with Robert Spencer, and we'll be doing that at the bottom of this hour.
Guantanamo. Were there many of our friends in ISIS that got their tutoring in Guantanamo?
No doubt. As a matter of fact, speaking of that, they just let a Saudi Arabian go today. Or yesterday.
Isn't that exciting? Yeah. Another one will be out in the battlefield soon. That's great.
Yeah,
great.
That's right. Yeah. Got some new poll numbers out. The new star has vaulted to number 2. No, not that one. I'm not talking about Cali. I'm talking about Joe Biden in a nationwide Bloomberg poll. We'll give you those results here in a few minutes. And it does not look good for Hillary. There is a new Fox poll. The results are going to be announced tonight, and they've already been leaking out at least the order, not the percentages. But it goes Trump, Carson, Fiorina, Rubio, and Cruz, I believe. And so those results will be coming out here on Fox tonight, so you can look for that.
Do you like that? I mean, are you comfortable with that 5?
Trump, Rubio, Fiorina. Well, 3 out of the 5 I'd be real comfortable with anyway, certainly. But, yeah, it looks like the real competitors are beginning to rise to the top.
I mean, I watched Cruz on Colbert. This guy really has guts, though.
He does.
You know, I mean, he knew what he was walking into. And, you know, the minute he was on the air, he'd have his detractors there. He knew it was a setup. But you know what? He pitched his story.
Yep.
And he pitched his story. And he pitched his story. And, you know, I wonder how many people in the viewing audience finally said, you know what? That does make sense. They're not all these idiots. I mean, a lot of them, I don't watch the show because I don't think that's funny when the life of the nation's at risk.
Right.
You know, but I thought, Cruz, I love to see a guy that has the guts to walk right into the, you know, the teeth of hell.
Yeah.
And he stands right there and battles and battles. You know, I like him. So I'll leave him in those top five.
Yeah, absolutely. He needs to be in the final running. That's a for sure right there. The Pope made his first appearance in front of the United States audience this morning. Well, besides getting off the plane yesterday, but I mean speaking to the United States on the lawn, the backyard, as Barack Obama called it, to the White House. And he didn't waste any time to get into the immigration controversy. Part of his message that he's going to be delivering tomorrow is that we need to show mercy to these immigrants wherever they come from. And certainly mercy is appropriate. Allowing them to be ongoing criminals because they're here illegally. I don't know how that's merciful, but we'll see if he wants to elaborate on that. But I'm sure he's also talking about the refugees, the migrants, the infiltrators, all wrapped up into one coming out of Syria and all over the Middle East and Africa as well. As though it is the West's burden to take them in, house them, feed them, give them health care and jobs.
Chris, does he ever reference the Muslim religion in the sense that the Muslim countries not only won't take them in, but won't contribute any great sums of money? Why isn't Saudi Arabia and Egypt and, you know, all the various Muslim countries sending money to help the Europeans and everybody take care of them?
Well, I guess he's too busy thinking about global warming to have something like that dawn on him.
Yeah.
But as a matter of fact, that's a good point. We've raised it on the show before.
Seriously. I don't get why anybody's not talking about that. I want some money, man. You want me to take care of them? Send me the money.
But not only that, but Saudi Arabia is set up to take hundreds of thousands, if not a million or two, where they have permanent tents that are set up basically in the desert, but these are not tents
sort of like
you get
Oktoberfest.
It's not like a tent you're going to get from Kirby Tent Rental.
Right.
I mean, these tents are the latest high-tech tents,
right,
okay, with air conditioning, running water, toilets,
right,
you name it. We might call them tents, but it's not bad digs, okay? And they're set up over there for the Hajj, which is going on right now. The Hajj is the pilgrimage that every Muslim is supposed, if he's financially or she financially able to, is supposed to take to Saudi Arabia so they can parade around that black stone,
right,
basically in the middle of, don't quote me on this, but it's either Mecca or Medina. And
they would have room for a million. Would that resolve a lot of problems?
Well, they're set up because they have these huge numbers of people, hundreds of thousands come every year to fulfill their Hajj obligation. And they need somewhere to stay, right? The Marriott's not going to take them all.
Right.
Right? And Howard Johnson's is booked too. So they need, you know, facilities. And they don't take them down. These are not tents that they strike, that they take down when Hajj is over. They stay there. They're permanent structures. So they definitely have the capability, and certainly they have the money to feed and house and clothe them. So it isn't a question of that. So then we must ask ourselves what really is going on. And this is where Robert Spencer is going to come in. You know, it's a great time for him to be on the show.
I think it's excellent.
These are infiltrators. Even the quote-unquote innocent ones are coming here to overload our system. They may not even be aware of it. But this whole mass migration has been orchestrated by the Islamic State and Syria to get rid of their enemies. It's brilliant. You get rid of your enemies, and in the process, you send along a few of your own to infiltrate the great
the pot
Satan.
And agitate the pot.
Absolutely.
This is going to be a fun period the next few years for these people in Europe. And us.
Exactly. And us, because they are here. And, Ahmed, have you been standing with Ahmed? I'd like to stand with Ahmed and give him a red belly or something, because that kid, that whole thing was a setup. And like I said, we'll be bringing that stuff up with Robert Spencer, and he's going to join us at the bottom of the hour.
Our Chris Lamas, you know, Obama.
Yeah, the Pope. Sorry.
He acts like a Christian, but we know he's a Muslim, so he's a Chris. I guess Chris Muslimus or something.
Well, I still think he's an atheist, but
you are by your actions, though. I mean, this guy, to me, he looks like an absolute Muslim. You are your actions. If I say that, you know, I'm a Christian and never go to church, am I really a Christian? Well, maybe in some way, but you know, this guy, look what he does.
Yeah, well.
And I think it's... Ugh.
Well, like I say, it fits nicely with
Chris
Marxist.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the Pope then, after he mentioned migration, he spent maybe a sentence or two on religious freedom. And by the way, don't get any wrong ideas about the Pope here. He's not talking about Christian religious freedom in the United States. He's talking about Islamic religious freedom. That's what he's talking about, see, and that's the way the White House is going to spin it. You know, mean old nasty humbugs like Ben Carson, you see, he's on the wrong page. We need to be loving to our Islamic mm-hmm. brothers and sisters because, after all, it is a religion of peace.
Yeah,
they cut you up in two pieces.
Yeah, like I say, pieces.
Yeah,
I mean, where's
the religion
of
peace is?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so the Pope is, let's just say he's a tool, all right? I'm going to give him credit that he doesn't know any better and that he's being used as a tool. But when he spent most of his speech talking about climate change. What in the world?
I can't take that word, climate change.
Does this guy know about climate change? When he had his own little summit several months ago where we had a bunch of mayors, I don't remember, but I think old Pudge Dyer was there, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Old Pudge from Orlando down yonder
free
where
trip.
I live and pay
trip.
That old SOB.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was over there, I believe. And guess who they didn't allow in there? Anybody who didn't agree with their doctrine.
I wonder, do you think he knows, the Pope knows Al Gore?
No doubt.
And what Al Gore's...
Oh, no doubt. And by the way...
Yeah, about this, all the money.
And, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Don't let anybody fool you when they tell you that this big extravagant tour through the United States by the Pope was because of an invitation he got from Philadelphia. This was all planned when Barack Obama was in the Vatican last year. Mm-hmm. This is, as John L. Casey has said on our show, part of the run-up to the climate change, to the climate change summit in Paris in November and December, where, oh, Mr. Obama, you think the Iran deal was bad, folks? Wait till you see what Mr. Obama has in store for us for Christmas season.
I'm just thinking of all the jobs that'll be lost and all the suffering from our people because of this absolute farce.
They want us to live like the North Koreans.
Oh. Okay.
You know, like Native Americans.
So I'll get a tent. I got to get rid of my house.
Right.
Okay.
But it ain't going to be one of them nice Saudi Arabian tents.
Hillary,
you're going to have to get yours from down at the Sports Authority.
And then Hillary has five houses worth $31 million, and I'm supposed to live in a tent?
They will never do without.
Oh.
No. They won't do that.
Oh, of course they won't.
And by the way, the Pope, and we got to go to a break, but the Pope riding around in that little car and all that, you know, and he doesn't live in the nice place in the Vatican. You know who he reminds me of who did the same exact thing? The same exact thing? A fellow by the name of Vladimir.
Oh, yeah.
Not Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Lenin. He lived in the servants' quarters of the Kremlin because he wanted to look like he was one of the people.
Now, I do know one thing. You know what that car is that he's driving around? That's actually
It's supposed to be a Fiat.
It's a Jeep.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a Jeep.
Yeah,
that's a little tidbit a lot of people didn't know.
I wonder if it burns diesel. You know? Got the engine for Volkswagen.
I know. I'd love to know what fuel they're using in it, right?
All right, let's go to the break. We'll be right back.
I'm a loser, and I'm not what I appear to be.
All right, we got some news for Hillary, and it ain't good. Welcome back to the show, folks. The good news is we are here. We're live. 407-774-8255 is the number. Real quick, and I want to take a phone call before we go to the next break, and we'll give you some poll numbers here. But as far as the Pope goes, you know, I think the Pope is part of what he's trying to do is obviously he's trying to rejuvenate and I would say reinvent the Catholic Church. And I think he's fearful that the Catholic Church was going by the wayside. And to a great extent, I believe he was right. The only problem I have is I think his approach is wrong. I think when your organization begins to get a little top heavy or something like that, you go back to the basics. You go back to the basics. And he's not going back to the basics. He's embracing liberalism.
Right. Politics, and this is not where you should be.
He thinks he can have it both ways. You see, he thinks he can play both sides of the fence here, but it's not going to work for him. The liberals are going to use him as a tool, and he's going to diminish his credibility with conservatives. It's a double loss for, I believe, for him and perhaps for the Catholic Church. Having said that, he's very popular. His popularity is like around 75% worldwide. So he is at least, in some sense, accomplishing his goal.
But when you tell people what they want to hear, you'll always be popular.
For a little while.
But there's a point you got to tell them what they really need to do
right, to
make life better for everyone.
And that's
my concern.
And
he takes the easy direction, don't you think?
Exactly. And part of the problem with going the easy way is you begin to establish false and unaccomplishable, if that's a word, expectations. Unachievable, I guess is a better word. You will not be able to achieve the expectations that they are creating. You know, our common world, or our common home. It's far from that.
I always look at that as a Democratic Party. They look till tomorrow morning. We look for down the road because we want to make people's lives better. We just don't care. Will you feel better the next day? We'll worry about that. I want your whole life to be good.
It takes a little while to teach people how to fish. It takes no time at all to just hand it to them, right?
There you go. Simple as that.
All right, let's go to JJ, and then we'll give you those poll numbers. JJ, thank you for calling tonight.
Yeah, hi, guys.
Hey.
Hey.
You have Mike on there. You guys work well together.
Two swinging guys.
Yeah. Listen, I just wanted to say... you know, the whole tolerance of Muslims, the Islam, it seems to me that we've been nothing but tolerant of them. And what do we get? Complaints about and whining and heads, you know, people being slaughtered. It's ridiculous.
You're right. You're right. And Robert Spencer is going to address some of that for us today. And by the way, I highly suggest, folks, that you get this book, The Complete Infidel's Guide to ISIS. You could even say it's The Complete Idiot's Guide to ISIS. It really does explain how we got to where we are today and who the major players are. Anyway, go ahead. I know you want to say something else.
Well, Chris, I think what she was saying is very obvious. In other words, you know, they come over here. They populate certain little enclaves, and then it's a case that it's always, we're supposed to do for them. What are you going to do for our nation?
Well, and that's just it. And this is what JJ is talking about, I believe,
right.
JJ, is that they're using our tolerance against us. Could we say that?
Oh, of course.
Easily.
Absolutely.
Right.
We could never be elected president in one of their countries, and now they're calling for Ben Carson to step down. Their feelings are hurt. I mean, they are the most selfish people.
Well,
and they are not a religion of peace. They're so self-absorbed. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, but you got to admit, they're playing this pretty good. Because to the uninformed person out there, they look like the sympathetic figure. You see, and this is the problem. They know how to play the sympathetic figure. They know how to use Western press as propaganda. And they use it very, very effectively. And it's because the Western press is dominated by liberal idiots.
And I think
as Lenin used to say, and I referred to him before, Lenin used to call the press useful idiots.
Yeah. I think it's because of something I actually started to call in. Like my call dropped, and it was too late to call back. But last night you had mentioned a lot of people don't know about that Taqiya thing. And I don't even trust so-called moderate Muslims anymore, because when I think about if they're – the only Muslims I trust are the ones that are not practicing or not
even – Chris, here's a question.
Real quick, and I'll let you ask a question. In The Complete Infidel's Guide to ISIS, he talks in there about how they have manuals, okay, telling you how to take advantage of the taqiyya. In other words, how to look normal, how to look moderate, how to look like you're a regular guy or gal, and all the while – they're just waiting.
It's coming, right?
They have the time. We have the watches. You wanted to ask something real quick.
No, I was wondering now, you take all the people at work and care and everything. How have we just said to them, well, okay, go back to your Muslim nations? They can't even get in anyway.
Probably not.
No, I'm saying that. So what are they telling us what to do and what's expected and all this? Say, hey, buddy, we'll send you home. Well, I can't go anywhere. Then shut up.
But no, see, the whole purpose is to take down the United States of America.
Well.
And they're being very, very methodical about it. And that's what they're taking advantage of what JJ was talking about. And they're taking advantage of the fact that they got all their in their mind, there is no such thing as time. So no matter how long it takes, they have that goal at the end of the day. And they will not change it.
Well, Chris, we'll
don't
be here.
Change, yeah, that's right. I was going to say, don't change the channel because we'll be right back. Thank you, JJ. We'll be right back with Robert Spencer.
From the dressing room to restretch their tights, here are the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversaries.
Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you do have the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show coming to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer. Mike McBath, chairman of the board, is in the studio with me today, Christopher Hart, and you can be a part of the show, too, by giving us a call at 407-774-8255. And we're working to get Robert Spencer on the line. As soon as we get him on the line, we'll go to him. You might have seen Mr. Spencer on Fox, CNN, PBS, or C-SPAN. He's also been on the Michael Medved show, as well as many other radio shows. And he is, I believe, one of the, if not the world's most prominent infidel authority on Islam. And he's written a number of books, and many of them have made the bestseller list. And his new book is called The Complete Infidel's Guide to ISIS. And it very much is the complete guide. Like I said, he gives you a tremendous historical background. He even goes, he has a timeline that goes all the way back to when Muhammad died. And he brings it right up to date. He gives you names, basically names, addresses, and serial numbers of the head guys in ISIS. He talks about their methods and why they do it and how we got to where we are and what we're going to need to do to go from here. So I want to bring on to the show today the director of Jihad Watch, which is a program of the David Horowitz Freedom Center, Mr. Robert Spencer, the author of The Complete Infidel's Guide to ISIS. Mr. Spencer, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me on.
It's very much our pleasure. Listen, I want to cover a number of things that are in your book, but let me just start this way. There's been a lot of controversy here since over the weekend when Ben Carson said that he wouldn't feel comfortable supporting a Muslim for the president of the United States. And then, of course, all the counter arguments are, well, in the Constitution, Article 6, it says there's no religious test. I ask you, Mr. Spencer, is Islam a religion?
It is a religion, actually, but it's more than a religion. It's a religion that's unique among the religions of the world in having a developed political system that is part and parcel of what it is, of its core identity. And that political system is authoritarian, supremacist, violent, and at complete variance with the Constitution in numerous ways. So I know there are people who say Islam is not a religion. You may be one of them, and I understand and respect that position. I'm just working from the definition of a religion being something that claims to connect people to the divine and to the spiritual. Islam does claim to do that.
Right.
But
as far as
the problem with Ben Carson goes, it's not a religious test that he's talking about. He's talking about the political aspects of Islam
right. That
are at variance with the Constitution.
I call it an ideology. Is that fair?
Absolutely, yes.
Is nothing new, what we see going on in the world today. This is just the latest version of what their methodology is it not?
Yes, absolutely. This is something that is going on all through history. It is nothing new at all. Here again, Carson is absolutely right, because Islamic law is a very well-defined system of rules and regulations that denies the freedom of speech, denies the freedom of conscience. There's a death penalty for people who leave Islam. It denies equality of rights to women, denies equality of rights to non-Muslims. And so when Carson says that the Sharia is at variance with the Constitution, he is absolutely correct.
Robert, the word caliph or caliphate, we do hear it occasionally in the media, but a lot of people say, well, that will never happen. Has it happened? You've talked about it. I know the answer, but tell our listeners, has it happened before and can it happen again?
Yeah, there have always been caliphates. The word khalifa in Arabic means successor, and the caliph is the successor of Muhammad as the political, military, and spiritual leader of the Muslims. And so the caliphate was always understood in Sunni Islam as the only legitimate government among Muslims worldwide. And there were caliphates right from the beginning of Islam, right up until 1924, when the secular Turkish government abolished the caliphate. They were trying to limit the power of political Islam. But after that, the jihad groups always were trying to restore the caliphate because they consider it to be the source of Muslim unity and strength. The Islamic State has now been the one group that has succeeded in restoring the caliphate, or at least so they claim, and actually being able to pull it off and to retain the land that they hold for over a year now. We'll see how long they last, but so far their appeal has been greatly strengthened by the fact that those who have the will to take them out don't have the means, and those who have the means don't have the will.
And as a matter of fact, in your book, you call what is normally called the Ottoman Empire the Ottoman Caliphate, which
yes,
was finally
it was
just
ruled by the Sultan, who was also the Caliph of all the Muslims. That is the one sole authority on earth that Muslims theoretically owed allegiance to. And as I said, the last Caliph was deposed in Istanbul in 1924.
So it's certainly not beyond the scope of reason that what we're seeing develop in the Middle East can grow to something far bigger than what it is now.
No, absolutely not. It's not at all beyond the realm of possibility. As a matter of fact, because of the claim to be the caliphate, the Islamic State has already attracted the allegiance of a whole lot of other jihad groups. Just the other day, there were some kidnappings of non-Muslims in the southern Philippines by the Abu Sayyaf group. They have pledged allegiance to the Islamic State. We've all probably heard about Boko Haram, the very brutal jihad group in Nigeria, and Michelle Obama's hashtag, Bring Back Our Girls, and all that. They've pledged allegiance to the Islamic State. There are jihad groups all over the world who have said, yeah, we agree. We accept that al-Baghdadi is the caliph, the head of the ISIS, is the caliph, the leader of all the Muslims.
You know, I was fascinated to find when I read about him in your book that he was sort of a quiet, studious kid when he was young.
Yes, he was never a warrior. He was always a theorist, a thinker. He has a PhD in Islamic studies, and it was only after the Americans were already in Iraq about 10 years ago that he started to get active in the jihad movement. And he was actually imprisoned in Camp Buka in Iraq, an American prison camp, for some time. But when he was released in 2009, according to some stories, not every source corroborates this, but according to some stories, he said to, as he was leaving the camp, he said to the American jailers, I'll see you guys in New York. And certainly the Islamic State has plans to mount jihad attacks in New York and elsewhere in the United States.
I want to get to that momentarily, but first of all, yesterday, former General David Petraeus was testifying in front of Congress, and he characterized what's going on in the Middle East as a geopolitical Chernobyl. I think that's pretty obvious to all of us, but is this by accident, coincidence, or plan?
Well, it's sort of all three. The Obama administration, you know, Obama, he campaigned on getting us out of Iraq. And so he got up as soon as he was president, practically, and said, Iraq is stable and secure now, and so we're going to leave. When he left a weak and unsteady Shiite government in Baghdad, and a Sunni minority, a very sizable Sunni minority, that felt angry and disenfranchised. It was a perfect opportunity. It was a vacuum, and the jihadis jumped in and took advantage of it. And the Islamic State is the old al-Qaeda in Iraq group, and it's reconstituted itself with this claim to be the caliphate, and so far it's had tremendous success.
Robert, this is Mike McBath. I got a question for you. You know this young man, Ahmad the Clockmaker?
Oh, yeah.
Who I'm talking about. Now, I noticed that his family is going to be flown to New York City. They're going to have a meeting with the UN dignitaries. They're going to make a pilgrimage to Mecca. You know, what type of act is this? I mean, all of a sudden, this young man, and I don't think it takes any great intellect to make a clock, right? I think there's many young children at that age could make a clock. Why are we putting up with this when we have people who have done outstanding achievements or people who have sacrificed themselves to save others, and here's our president, you know, embracing this and putting on an act?
Well, the thing is, Obama is deeply invested and has been throughout his presidency in the idea of Muslims as victims. And after all, he warned us. He said in his first autobiography, if the political winds shift in an ugly direction, he'll side with the Muslims. He said he was going to do it, and he's doing it now. The thing is that it may have been ridiculous to arrest Ahmed Mohammed. I'll grant you that. I think that the schools are overreacting when they suspended the boy who chewed his Pop-Tart into a shape of a gun, and when they suspended another boy who drew a picture of a gun on a piece of paper. That's ridiculous. And maybe Ahmed's clock was an overreaction like that. But it was not an overreaction because he's a Muslim. It was an overreaction because the schools have a zero-tolerance policy in which anything regarding a weapon, anything that looks suspicious, results in immediate removal from class and suspension and so on. And so Ahmed was not singled out because he was a Muslim, right. But the American Muslim advocacy groups and Barack Obama have seized upon this. Now, you got to wonder, what's the intention of their seizing upon this? What are they trying to accomplish? And then it gets really, really disquieting, because you've got to think, what's going to be the upshot of all this controversy about this boy and his clock? It's going to result in people, teachers, next time a Muslim comes into a school with a suspicious object that looks like a bomb, they're going to be afraid to do anything, because they'll be afraid that they'll stir up another media firestorm and be ridiculed around the country and called Islamophobes and all that. And so what it does is it makes us all less safe, because it makes people afraid to deal with genuinely suspicious activity.
Right. And by the way, he didn't make the clock. He just took a store-bought clock and kind of took it apart and put it back together.
Indeed.
Doesn't this, though, indicate that they are sort of consciously, slowly setting us up? And just as a side question, do you think that the Pope is falling into this trap of viewing and preaching that Muslims are victims?
Yeah, absolutely. The Pope very much buys into all this. And it's just a shame, because it fosters ignorance and complacency among Americans. And, you know, I can tell you that the U.S. Catholic bishops actually make a concerted effort to shut down and silence and marginalize anyone who speaks out about Muslim persecution of Christians and why it's happening. And you'd think they would be the champion of people who are opposing Muslim persecution of Christians. But that is unfortunately not the case. It seems as if the Pope and the Catholic Church in general are determined to abandon the Christians of the Middle East in pursuit of this illusory, self-defeating dialogue with Muslim leaders that hasn't actually saved one Christian from being persecuted.
Do you think they might be in collusion with some of these Muslim leaders?
Well, I think I think it's more naivete than collusion.
Naivete.
I think that they, the Catholic bishops in the United States, they don't know anything about Islam, and they meet these imams who know all about them, and they're nice guys, and they're very kind, and they have dinner, and they seem like
everyday
very,
Joe,
very
right?
Fine gentlemen, and right. So they're taken in. They don't do their homework and find out what's actually taught in the Quran about Christians and Christianity. They don't challenge these men after they've been kind to them to show what they're doing to try to stop the attitudes that lead to the Muslim persecution of Christians. They're just being taken for a ride, but they don't realize.
Once again, folks, we're speaking with Robert Spencer. He's a best-selling author, and he's been on Fox and a number of other news shows. I'm sure you've seen him. Anyways, he's written a great book. It's called The Complete Infidel's Guide to ISIS, and it sounds like we need to buy some extra copies and send them to these bishops and some people in Congress, because they really need to have their eyes open. Speaking of the Pope, you talk in there about how they're serious about going to the Vatican, and as a matter of fact, that's one of their first and foremost targets, if I read your book right.
Oh, you're quite right, yeah. See, there's a prophecy attributed to Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, that he said, first you'll conquer old Rome, and then you'll conquer new... Oh, I'm sorry. First you'll conquer new Rome, then you'll conquer old Rome. New Rome, in this parlance, is Constantinople, or Istanbul, which, of course, the Muslims did conquer in 1453. Old Rome is the Rome in Italy. And so there are Muslim spokesmen, Muslim scholars, Muslim clerics, who've actually said that now is the time, that the second part of the prophecy, the conquest of old Rome, is at hand. And the Islamic State very much wants to be the fulfillment of that prophecy, supposedly, that Muhammad said. And so they have said, there was a Polish convert to Islam who joined the Islamic State, and he recently said that, yes, we're going to storm the Vatican, we're going to behead the Pope, and have mass executions in St. Peter's Square.
And in fact, and you point this out in your book, how they actually recruit people. And he, folks, once again, he identifies peoples. He talks about how they got from, say, for instance, some of these British citizens ending up in Syria, American citizens ending up in Syria. And you talk about how they use these achievements, and they use the very own Western press as recruiting tools.
Yes, absolutely so. See, the thing is that the Western press is completely unaware of what's going on and completely unwilling to speak about it honestly. And when they issue these threats and they know that they're going to be reported, then they're using them as a vehicle for the expansion of their, for the dissemination of their message. Plus, the fact that the press will not discuss how they use the texts and teachings of Islam to gain recruits and to justify what they're doing keeps Americans ignorant and complacent, which is just the way they want it.
Robert, I got a question, too, is do you believe many Islamists are actually crossing the borders, not just on the southern side, you know, where it looks like a free-for-all,
from Mexico,
but through Canada? You know, I saw a program the other day. They were actually showing these people crossing the lakes in Canada right directly from a mosque. And it was like every day they were crossing into America undetected.
Yep,
and
so about it.
Do you think they would be putting, maybe building caches where they would keep weapons and everything, and all of a sudden one day we wake up and guess what? There's about 10,000 less of us.
It could happen. It could very well happen.
Is that far-fetched or is that something?
I've been doing this. What's that?
Would that be considered a far-fetched idea, or is that something that's a viable reality?
I don't think it's at all far-fetched. When I was doing the research for this book, I read the ISIS material. There's quite a lot of publications that they have issued for Muslims in the United States, explaining how to conceal their activities and how to go about getting materials to wage jihad, to carry out terror attacks in the United States, and so on. And, you know, I've been doing this a long time, and nothing really surprises me, but these things were chilling. They have a plan, a concerted and very skillfully thought-out plan to bring down the United States government, not in by a direct assault, but by the death of a thousand cuts. They hope to overwhelm government intelligence and law enforcement by so many plots, so many terror attacks, like a Boston Marathon bombing every day, that finally law enforcement just can't keep up and collapses, and they can do their will wherever they wish, and then they will indeed try to make us do their bidding.
And by the way, folks, he quotes these guys. They speak openly about this. You can find their words. And by the way, real quick, the publisher and Mr. Spencer have been kind enough to make a copy of the book available to one of our listeners. So in just a few minutes, we'll put out the call on that and we'll give that book away. And once again, folks, you need to get your hands on this book. I'm going to call it a survival guide, because you need to know what we are facing and what we're up against. And I know a lot of you in our audience are up on these things, but this will help you explain it to others, especially in a historical context. It's an excellent work. I can't praise it enough in terms of accomplishing its goal of informing you about ISIS. Real quick, I noticed that a number of these groups initially called themselves, I'll just pick one here, the Party of Monotheism and Jihad. Why would they use the word monotheism?
Monotheism, or Tawhid, is a very important concept in Islam, and it is the absolute oneness of Allah. It is an explicit rejection of the idea of the Trinity from Christianity, and it's considered to be the hallmark of Islam. As a matter of fact, Muslims believe they're really the only monotheists. They don't believe that Christians are because of the Trinity, and they don't believe that Jews are because the Quran says that Jews say that Ezra is the son of God, which Jews don't really say. But nonetheless, because it's in the Quran, Muslims believe that they do think that. And the thing is that they believe that they have a divine responsibility to spread this pure monotheism all around the world, and that they are the executors of the divine wrath in punishing all those who don't accept this pure monotheism.
And you say something very troubling at the end of the book when you talk about what we're going to have to do about it. You say that, I'm sorry, I didn't put a bookmark in there, but you can correct me. You say that theirs is a pursuit of death over life.
Yes. They say that very often. It's something that they like to repeat. They say, we will win because we love death more than you love life. And in one of the manuals, I quote a Russian general. I don't know if the quote is authentic, but it was in the one of the ISIS manuals that I was reading. They quote this Russian general saying, "We see how can we defeat these people when they look into the barrels of our guns and see paradise?" And that's the idea, that they love death and they long for death. And this is thus a struggle between life and death, that they are trying to destroy everything that they consider to be outside the realm of what is the proper worship of the one true God. And that means destroying these ancient Roman artifacts and ancient Assyrian artifacts that have been there thousands of years and so on. They love death and they love destruction. The people, therefore, who love life and civilization have to realize that this is a direct challenge and we have to stand against it. They're going to keep advancing until they're stopped, just like the Nazis had a global vision and are going and kept advancing until they were stopped by force. It's the same thing with these people. And the problem is nobody is on hand right now who is able to or willing to stop them.
Go ahead, Mike.
Robert, I was another question, too, is do you get an opportunity to, and I think I know the answer, to speak at many universities, et cetera, on this subject? Because, you know, once the fact that you can wake people up and see how violent this is, see what their goals and objectives are, I mean, this is pretty terrorizing to most people. And it's a case that, you know, when you take like a Ben Carson response. Now, my response to Ben Carson would be a lot different after hearing you for 20 minutes than 20 minutes ago. You know, I think it's important, obviously, you're out and about as much as possible, and you have your own disciples out there preaching the story of this because you realize what possible terror could be imposed on the American public.
Well, the thing is, most universities are closed systems now, you know.
Which I knew when I asked the question. I just was hoping it might be right.
Yeah, well, I have spoken to a lot of universities in the past, but it's really changed a lot in the last few years. They're just centers of leftist indoctrination. They are not open to any other point of view. And it's a shame because they are indoctrinating our young people. And most Americans, I think, parents, they send their children to these places and they really don't have any idea what's going on and just how extreme what's going on in American universities is. And it really the full extent of it, I've seen it. You know, I've been had people demonstrating and threatening and so on when I have spoken to universities in the past. And you'd be amazed. It's like you're at a Nuremberg rally or facing a bunch of brown shirts rather than having a genuine give and take with people who are seriously thinking.
All right. Let's go ahead and give away that copy of The Complete Infidel's Guide to ISIS to the third caller right now. Call us at 407-774-8255. The third caller will get The Complete Infidel's Guide to ISIS. And I highly suggest the rest of you go out and purchase a copy of this book and pass it around amongst your family and friends and buy some even for gifts, especially to the young people in your life who are more influent, let's just say more gullible.
Let me send some to the White House.
Yeah, they'd certainly all need to read. I'm sure they would just use it for firewood up in the White House, though. do you have a website that people can visit and maybe subscribe to? Do you have a blog or anything?
Yeah, absolutely. It's Jihad Watch. That's jihadwatch.org on the web, and it's updated many times daily with news and commentary about jihad activity in the United States and around the world.
Jihadwatch.org.
That's right.
All right, so I'm going to repeat that throughout the show today, and we'll throw it out there on a regular basis. Just real quick, you say that we are going to have to fight these guys on the battlefield toe-to-toe. Is there a Republican candidate do you think is up to snuff on that?
Nope, I don't think so. I'm sorry to say that. Donald Trump has said he'll do what it takes to take them out, but Donald Trump also came out against us when we were standing for free speech at our free speech event in Garland, Texas, that was attacked by jihadis. And so I don't have a whole lot of confidence that he has a full grasp of the issues. But I'll tell you something, if we don't fight them now, we're going to have to fight them later. It's inevitable.
And you mean on the battlefield?
Yes. I don't think ever in the 100 years of air flight, there's never been a nation conquered solely by air attacks.
So there's
air strikes are just cosmetic.
So there's no diplomatic solution to this?
These people will not negotiate. If they negotiate at all, it's only to gain an advantage so as to defeat us more soundly later. It's not a genuine give and take by people who regard each other as equal.
And do you think that that's what's happened with the Iran deal?
Definitely. No doubt about it.
All right. Frank from Geneva won the book. Mr. Robert Spencer, I certainly hope you'll come back on our show again. This has been a fascinating conversation, and your book is just, it's really great. It's really well done. And once again, I'm going to be promoting it on a regular basis for you.
I'll tell you.
Call me anytime.
Frank, hopefully you get this out. This was terrific.
Yeah.
And I think your enlightenment is going to help many listeners and everybody that has the opportunity to read this book.
Yeah. And I know you're a target, so we'll pray for you and go with God, my friend.
Thank you so much. You too.
All right. Once again, that is Robert Spencer, The Complete Infidel's Guide to ISIS. And folks, it is The Complete Infidel's Guide to ISIS. So you need to get your hands on a copy of it. Congratulations, Frank. You will be receiving your book. And we'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show. And please do go to jihadwatch.org. jihadwatch.org. You'll all know how to spell jihad. I don't need to tell you. Jihadwatch.org. Let's support this man.
105.5 AM 660. The Answer. WORL. Altamont Springs. Orlando. A service.
Ladies and gentlemen, step it right up. Let's go see the elephant. When I'm a roll of honey. I'm a roll of honey, and you can't keep up with me.
Welcome back to the show, folks, or welcome to the show. That's right, you got the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show coming to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer. So that means you are in the right place. And I hope you'll stick around with us for the next hour. Now, at the half-hour mark, the Rays pregame show will start. That's the bad news, and that's going to go through the end of next week, and after that, the season's over, because it sure looks like the Rays are not going to make the postseason this year. So the season will wrap up next week, and then we'll have the full 2 hours every night. And I hope you'll certainly join us for that. 407-774-8255 is the number. Nicholas Cicero's on the battle bridge, so he'll handle those phone calls as we come to you from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios Complex. Don't forget, for the very best in mercury free dental care, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, and get your hands on his great book, Mercury Free. All right, I'm Christopher Hart, along with the chairman of the board, Mike McBath. We're coming to you live, as I said, and I want to go back and real quick, I'll read some excerpts of Robert Spencer's book, and we'll kind of go over that. But you know, Monday's the day. Monday is the big day. Tomorrow we're going to do the weigh-in.
Hey, Chris, we got to be excited. We got a bunch of them coming in tomorrow. I think Big Reg is going to be here with us.
I don't know if this room's going to be big enough.
I know.
Especially with Reggie in here.
I know. This is a Super Bowl champion guy, and you know, he's really spread the word. He expects to top everybody when it comes to eating spaghetti and meatballs.
That's
and I
right.
don't think they understand. Meatballs, you know, that weighs heavy in your stomach.
Oh,
so
yeah, these are big meatballs at Cafe Positano. They're about the size of a baseball.
Oh, I know.
Or at least a tennis ball.
And then we got the Pret Heads coming, and they're bringing two people. They're bringing a young lady, Wendy Grabe, and then they're bringing, and then we have another lady.
Rachel Cohen.
Rachel will be here, so we got man on man, woman on woman, man on woman. We're going to find out who walks and who eats. So
absolutely. So
it should be interesting. And but I'm trying to think out the next contest after that. What are we going to use for food? What are we going
to
do?
We'll have to figure something out.
Salmon eating? Ew. I don't think I'd want to do that. Maybe we'll figure something. Maybe lasagna or something.
With your creative brain, I'm sure
we'll come up with something. And we'll get a theme song for it, too. You know.
All right. Folks, if you didn't happen to catch the first hour of our show, we talked a little bit about the Pope, and we promised some poll numbers, which we haven't given yet. We'll give those to you here in just a couple of minutes. But we also, for the most, as a matter of fact, I had Nick just pull the commercials because the conversation was so fascinating, I just couldn't pull away to go to the commercial break. So we spent the second half of our first hour of the show speaking with Robert Spencer. He is the world's prominent infidel authority on Islam, and he has written The Complete Infidel's Guide to ISIS. And he really spells it all out. I mean, he names names. He tells us where these guys came from, why, what they're doing. He talks about people who have left nice lives in England and the United States to go join ISIS, girls and men and boys, I should say. And it is the complete guide. And it's a textbook and a survival guide all wrapped up in one.
Chris, do you think that would be required reading in most of our universities?
At one time in history, it would have been. I can see when
not
I...
Not now.
No, not now. And Robert addressed this. He said just over the past few years, the universities have become much more closed door to actually open thought.
I know. I sent my children to go to college to educate themselves and make them aware of all aspects, and I guess they're not allowed to read this?
Maybe not in college. You know, Dr. Ken Vihek got in trouble the other day because something he said in one of his classes, innocuous as it was, some student took offense to it. And then when the administrator asked the student, okay, do you want us to reassign you to another psychology class? He said, oh, no, I'm having too much fun Professor Vihek's class.
Yeah, and just because one student was offended.
And then that one student didn't want to leave his class because they were having too much fun in there and learning too well. So, this is just the environment that exists in universities today. But I just want to read a little something from his book that really ought to drive it home. And this is at the end of the book where he talks about how to defeat ISIS and why we must. This would come under the category of why we must. The challenge of the Islamic State is the challenge of destruction to creation, of conflict to peace, of tyranny to freedom. It is, without hyperbole, the challenge of life to death. One teenage Muslim girl from France who joined the jihad in Syria in 2012 wrote to her mother. He quotes her now. Mom, you're too materialistic. All that matters is finding your daughter. You should know that I am no longer your daughter. I belong to Allah. I will never return to the land of the unbelievers. If your government of unbelievers should come to find me with an army, we will execute every last one of them. The truth will win out, and we are afraid of nothing. We love death more than you love life. And see, this is what he is saying in this is they are willing to destroy the world in the process of handing it over to Allah. And we're going to give them the means to do it with nuclear weapons.
Well, that's the thing that makes me sick and so irate about this Iran deal and our wonderful leader. Yeah. I mean, you would wonder with the direct statements that are made against the health of this nation that this guy could promote it. And what's worse than that, anybody with a D after their name voted for it. They chose party over country.
Right. And as Mr. Spencer said, the Western media, in particular here in the United States for us, they are just clamoring to get on this, pity the poor Muslims gravy train, right?
Am I supposed to pity when I realize that?
Look what they did to poor little Ahmed. That was just a science experiment, Mike.
Oh, please.
Oh, can you be so cruel to the poor little 13-year-old boy?
I actually admire the teacher who followed the. I guess I'm from the old school. There are rules and regulations and things that are expected. And we've had a lot of problems with our good friends, the Muslims, with different tragedies that have occurred all through the United States. Why wouldn't the lady go, I'm concerned about this because I have 40 kids in my room that I'm responsible for. So I'm sorry, little Ahmed, but this happens. But that's part of an open society.
Yeah.
What's the problem?
This may sound strange, but in a better day, one of the kids' school bullies would have taken him out and beat the hell out of him and taught him a lesson.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to DJ on the line right now. DJ, thank you very much for calling tonight.
Yeah, what a great show you guys have tonight. You guys are going to be on Sunday, right?
Yes, sir. Yes.
You ought to have a repeat of what you just heard from that gentleman that was on there.
Well, that's not a bad idea.
You betcha, because there's no talk programs on the weekend except Rush Limbaugh.
And that's a rerun, by the way. Yeah, we go up against him on Sunday night, and guess what?
Oh, do you?
We beat him. We beat him. We beat him. Don't tell anybody I told you so, though, but we beat Rush Limbaugh on Sunday night. Of course, it's a tape version, but I'll take that. DJ, go ahead.
I think that would be dynamite if the rest of the people could hear it, and even at the play it at the churches, for crying out loud.
Well, the man does go around doing speaking engagements, but he's extremely obviously busy doing that. But you're right. This information needs to be gotten out. This is an existential threat to our culture. It's not just between the United States and Israel, the Islamic State and Israel in the United States. This is between the Islamic State and the rest of the civilized world.
The world, absolutely.
They don't care if you're a Hindu, a Buddhist, or a Rastafarian. You got the same fate written on your forehead as Christians and Jews.
You know the way I look at these guys, Islam? You remember the Borg in Star Trek?
Yes.
Exactly. You got no resistance is futile. Assimilate.
You know, that is a very great comparison.
The problem is, analogy, which I think DJ knows, is most of our public is more concerned about Caitlyn Jenner than they are this. And also informed. They'll be able to tell you about Kate's show, but tell me a little bit about who we're facing for the survival of the world.
Yeah.
I don't know that much about it. No one's told me. Well, that's what we're here for.
It's an antichrist religion, really, believe it.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, as a matter of fact, he writes about in the end days, they will fight it out with the antichrist. And guess who the antichrist is?
Yeah.
The Christians.
You know, one falsehood, though, I think, when they say, you know, we're fighting for our lives, they're fighting for death, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I'd be more inspired to fight for my life than just die. Hey, if you want to die, come on.
But that's what you have to understand.
Let's bring it on, brother.
They're expecting to get, 35 virginians up there.
Right, exactly. See, they expect that death brings them glory, right? That's
okay,
what they're saying.
I got to hang up.
All right, DJ, thank you for calling. I appreciate you being out there. Do you have an email address? He's gone. All right. All right. Let's go now to Don. Don, thank you for calling tonight.
Yeah, I have a scenario that will add to what we heard here earlier. You know, we've talked about electromagnetic pulse effects.
Correct.
We know that.
And when you think about what happens when, let's say they pull a couple of freighters, one off of the East Coast, one off the West Coast, one down in the Gulf of Mexico, and they pop a nuclear device up about 20 miles, all of our communications is gone. All of our automobile and truck traffic is gone.
Financial transactions, mm-hmm. All that plastic in your wallet and your purse will be worthless.
There'll be no more communications, so that we won't know if there are pockets of Islamic groups.
Well, you know, Don, they won't even have to be. As a matter of fact, they could pull their troops or their fighters out of here because we'll end up killing ourselves and killing each other because there will be mass hunger and famine and thirst. You know, the rule of three, you can only go 3 days without water. So people get desperate quick.
Got mosques all over the place.
Yeah.
And they probably have caches of weapons. And they could conduct a localized war in thousands of locations, and we wouldn't even know about it.
Yeah, you're right.
Don, did you ever read that book, One Second After?
Yeah, that was...
Is that scary? But is that very realistic?
And that's what they're talking about, electromagnetic.
I know.
And you're right. And they wouldn't even have to come inside the borders of the United States to carry this off. Put one of those rockets, one of their missiles with a nuclear warhead on it, on a barge. And just send it, 12 or 13 miles off the coast and launch that thing up and look out. So we are in big trouble, and it's because of our own doggone ignorance. And then, of course, you get the people like the president who are playing, playing their music, playing their tune for them. And then you get the naive people like the Pope who are being used as a tool. And what they are going to do, we're going to see it even more and more leading up to the election, especially now with what Carson said, because they feel like that gave them the perfect opening. It's going to be the Republicans are intolerant. We have to be tolerant to our poor little Muslim brothers and sisters, you see. And that begins to instill in us the mentality that will allow them to come in here and take the greatest nation in the history of this planet and ruin it. And that's, believe me, is exactly what they're up to, and they will not stop until they are accomplished or until we stop them. Don.
Yeah, white guilt is what got Obama elected, and now we'll have Muslim guilt all over the Christianized world. We'll be supporting them too.
Yep.
Well, Don, you keep educating people.
Yeah. Well, the seeds of that Muslim guilt have been planted here over the last few weeks. I mean, they've been working at it for a long time. But, I mean, seriously have been planted, and it will be made a campaign issue. I guarantee you. I guarantee you that. Don, God bless you. Don, do you have an email address?
Yes, we do.
If you would give that to Nick, I want to send you a sample copy of our intel brief. I think you'd get a big kick out of it.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it. We got to take a break. When we come back, the poll numbers, I keep promising you poor folks. They're good news for Trump, bad news for Hillary. Good news for Biden, bad news for Bernie.
Welcome back. I'm Mike McBath. I'm here with Christopher Wildman Hart. He's suffering from a minor little cold here today, and I'm a little concerned.
With my nose all stuffed
but I
up.
Thought he'd be so fired up by our last speaker. He was absolutely outstanding, Chris.
Robert Spencer, yeah.
And that was great of you getting him on, because I think our audience appreciated it, and I appreciated it, because, you know, when people realize what's waiting around the corner, if we don't speak out and we just sit here in a very naive fashion and just let people tell us what's politically correct, every time I hear that word PC, I'm going to reverse, because I figure I'm so fed up like most Americans, it makes you sick. Now,
but real quick, he's talking about, if you didn't hear the interview, he's talking about Robert Spencer. He wrote a book called The Complete Infidel's Guide to ISIS. Go ahead.
Okay, now the big poll numbers, Chris.
Oh, yeah, the poll numbers. The Bloomberg poll.
Okay, it looks to me Hillary, 33%.
That's bad.
Not
for her.
Good.
Not for her.
JB.
Not Joe Boy Biden.
Oh, I thought it was JB now. 25%.
33, 25 for Biden.
That I means- love this. I like these initials. BS. That actually might be very appropriate for Bernie Sanders. I saw Bernie Sanders.
I think BS is more appropriate for Hillary, but it'll work for him,
too. Yeah, they could maybe switch these around, but BS had 24. And probably the most qualified, and I say this in all seriousness, the most qualified, level-headed, true American in that bunch of four is Webb.
Jim Webb.
And guess what he gets from the Democratic Party? 2%.
Two.
Is that unbelievable? Here was like an American hero, a guy who fought in Vietnam, a guy that's absolutely sane. You know, Bernie Sanders, are you kidding me, a socialist?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Robert Webb, is it Robert Webb? No, Jim Webb.
Jim Webb.
Jim Webb, former Navy.
Naval Academy graduate, too.
Former Naval Secretary, actually quit under the H.W. Bush administration because of cuts to
the
military.
Wonder what he thinks was going to happen or has already happened with his party.
Right, right.
But will he be in on the debates? I hope he is.
I don't know. I don't know the rules. Their first debate is in October the 12th, I believe. It's a Saturday, if
October
I'm not mistaken.
12th. Well, he might be, because they won't have anybody else unless JB.
He has to get in. That's right. Now, what's interesting about this is Biden, without even having gotten in, just the talk swirling around him, has vaulted into second place with 25%. You add up him and Bernie Sanders, you got 49 to 33 against Hillary.
Wouldn't you feel bad if you were running for office and people weren't even running against you or leading you?
It's not a good sign.
We better get that song and I'm a loser real quick.
That's
you know?
Right. Ooh. All right, let's go to the phone lines. We have John on the line. John, thank you for calling tonight.
Hey, it looks like you got that email I sent you about the Saudi tents.
Yeah, I had actually heard that, but that was much more in-depth what you sent me. Thank you very much.
I have a comment about what Michael McBath had to say about, these Muslims, Muslims hiding little caches of weapons here and there, you know. There's one reason why I think they would not be very successful in doing that.
All right.
It's the same reason that the Japanese decided not to land on the shores of California. They knew that most Americans at that time were armed.
Yeah,
however,
John, I'm very aware of it. Like in Pennsylvania, there's 800,000 deer hunters. Well, obviously, there's 800,000 people who know how to handle guns, right?
Absolutely.
But my
now.
Only concern is that if these people, they want to join death, maybe they just go, you know what? We take X number of people. We walk into Phoenix. We shoot as many people as possible. But we're going to die. But we don't care if we're going to die. Well, so there's a little bit difference there.
And let me interject here, too.
I hope I'm wrong. Blame me.
Let me interject here, too. I think that, for instance, this kid Ahmed with his clock and what occasionally we hear about some Muslims acting weird on airliners. I think what they're doing is they're setting us up for the fall. And they're also very clever. Look at what they have been able to do with Ahmed and the clock. They got the doggone kid going to the UN and the White House. I mean, this is very clever planning on their part. And he is now a sympathetic figure to all the morons out there, right?
Chris, did you know he's going to be on Dancing with the Stars?
See what I'm talking about? No, don't give me that.
I'm kidding.
All right. But it's about that bad. It's about that bad.
I know.
And I guarantee you, if something were to happen and the hunters, like in Pennsylvania, were to respond to an attack, it would be the hunters in Pennsylvania who would be seen as the problem.
Yeah,
they look out for an event that will be directed at having the authorities disarm us. And don't think that it couldn't happen. These are very manipulative people, and they will take their time and be methodic about putting the pieces in place to pull this off. This kid is just not some kid. His father was very involved in the movement to get Shia adopted into the city council or whatever it was out there in Irving, Texas. This is not, none of this is haphazard. This is all part, if you will, of an elaborate plan.
Now, they may not,
exactly. And it's orchestrated in the sense that they all have the same goal, which is to take us down any way possible. John, if you want to stay with us, we'll pick you up on the other side. Otherwise, great call, and thanks for the email. And don't forget, folks, spaghetti eating contest. We're going to have a lot of fun. You're going to want to come out for that. Weigh-ins tomorrow. Don't want to miss it. We'll be back.
FM 104.
All right. Welcome back to the show, folks. Thank you for listening to us on AM660TheAnswer.com and your smart devices. We appreciate that. We're still here. We're still live until 7 o'clock. 407-774-8255 is the number. I am Christopher Hart. Of course, Mike McBath is in the studio with us. And Mike from the Arms Room Radio Show has also joined us once again in the studio today. Mike, it's good to see you again. 2 days in a row.
Thank you, gentlemen. It's great to be here.
All right. And I want to sort of pick up where we left off. But first, Mike has the latest poll numbers that Fox just released.
Well, you know what? Look at this.
It just went down.
However, Trump's number one.
Yeah, and the outsiders are still
right.
Dominating.
The outsiders are still running strong, which is good to see. And it's a case that I'm waiting for. We're loading, right? I'm waiting to see where Cruz stands. I figure he's going to be fourth.
All right,
Roger, thing. Yeah,
all right. Mike. Once again, Mike from the Arms Room Radio. Great show. They're live. They are on every Saturday at 3 o'clock on AM 660, The Answer, and FM 105.5. And this week they have Colonel Danny McKnight on the show. But you did some tours of duty in Iraq. You were in the military. You also have a police background and law enforcement background. You heard a little bit of the interview with Robert Spencer. First of all, what did you think in general?
Well, what a great book. I don't have a copy of it. I can't wait to get a hold of that one. That one slipped under my radar. I'm buying that one this week.
Yeah, well, it just came out about a month ago is when it first hit the shelves. The Complete Infidel's Guide to ISIS is what he's talking about. Of course, you saw this up close over there. And he's saying that there will be no diplomatic solution to this thing. Eventually, it's going to have to be settled militarily. Do you agree?
Sure. There's no diplomatic solution because there's no politician in charge. There's no elected official. This is a group of individuals fighting alongside each other, not in a military, not an organized militia as the way we know it. These are terrorists banding together to do this fight. You can't negotiate with that.
Let me ask
and
you,
the
Mike,
only reason they would is to end up taking advantage of us, like Robert Spencer said. Go
correct.
Ahead.
You know, as effective as our military is, do you think a relatively small group of our military on the ground could take them out and be extremely effective?
With the right rules of engagement, yes.
See, that's what I believe, too.
Which is go in there and clean up this mess.
It's clean up this mess. When we first went into Afghanistan, the rules of engagement were very limited. It was, you know, be humane, don't kill, and torture, and that was about it. And we controlled the country for 2 or 3 years. As we started to transition over to the Afghans and the Afghan government, and the rules of engagement were restricted upon us, that's when we started to take more casualties. That's when we started to have more resistance, because they tied our hands.
And it happened under the George W.'s administration, didn't it?
It did, but, you know, it was advisors. You know, this was one of those things where if you want to be in our country, these are the rules. And to try and legitimize their government, you had to give them the appearance that you were letting them make decisions.
Oh, boy. What a way to fight a war.
By the way, Mike just pulled up
those
poll numbers.
Yeah, Trump, he stays on top, 26%. Carson was 18%. Farina and Marco Rubio were each tied at 9%. All four have gained ground. And so that's your...
And was Cruz in there anywhere?
No, he was. He was 4%. Which I thought he'd have done better than 4%, particularly in Fox News.
Yeah.
You know, in their poll, because I figure they must have their sort of biased a little bit, don't you think, the poll?
They all do. You know, yeah. It all comes down to how they ask the questions.
That would be our lineup, right?
Yeah. 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 Mike, you heard what I said to the caller right there before the break. He kind of... you know, it's doubtful that these guys would store weapons over here for a frontal assault on us. Would you agree with that, or is this a different kind of enemy?
It is a different kind of enemy. The reason I believe there's been nothing happen over here so far, nothing significant since 9/11 anyway, is
just these quote-unquote lone wolf attacks.
The lone wolf attacks. They're using, let's call them American Muslims. They were Americans first and Muslims second. They were converted or they grew up here as a Muslim. It's hard to tell somebody that picks up their kids from soccer and goes to the movie theater and has a private school education that you want them to put a bomb on their chest and walk into the movie theater. I'll do that, but first I got a yoga appointment to go to. I've got to see the dentist. I've got all these other things.
Right.
Now you bring these ones in that have lived in a mud hut their entire life. And you say, listen, here's a couple bucks for you and your family. Now put the bomb on your chest that you're in the United States. It'll happen. These are not people that are, well, listen, I'd love to give my life for Allah, but, you know, I get a promotion at work next week.
Got bills to pay, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And they showed the other night, Muslims crossing from Canada. They just walk across the ice. Yep. They're doing it virtually daily.
Yes.
They're coming out. They showed them coming out of the mosque and everything. This was, I mean, you're like, what?
Yeah.
But do you think that they would ever consider just an attack? You know, you take 10 of them or something, walk into, you know, Phoenix and shoot as many people until they die?
Absolutely. At this point.
It sounds so logical. Yeah. I don't even know what the debate is.
Yeah. And again, I believe it's because we haven't had the Middle Eastern-born terrorists on our soil. It's been the American-born Muslims,
right,
or converts that have done the little things so far. But now that you're bringing in the people that grew up in the desert, it won't be long.
And they are coming. I mean, they're there, and I bet you many of them have already crossed and are just in our society. We just don't know where.
Sure. Right. And now we're going to start getting them from Europe because they're filtering in through that outlet of mm-hmm. refugees.
And of course, you got the Pope and the President right in the middle of this saying why we have to be merciful to these poor folk, you know? And that's what ISIS and people like them do. They use our ignorance. They use our goodness of heart and nature, and they use our open society against us. Now, that doesn't mean we have to be blind to what they're doing and just sit back and allow them to do it. You know, we have to be informed. We have to know what's going on in order to deal with this effectively. And I wanted to say with John, I guess he didn't stay on the line, was that, you know, these guys are a little bit different from the Japanese. Now, the Japanese were very much a society built around Shintoism, which taught, you know, dying in a battle, you know, protecting your land or your loved ones. That's a great honor. But I believe with these guys, it's different. It's the pursuit of death is the end goal. It's not to gain territory. It's not to preserve one's honor. It's to create destruction. I see you kind of nodding your head. What do you think?
Again, separating the Muslims that are over in Muslim countries, the way they grow up, death is almost preferable to the way their lifestyle. You won't catch somebody that grew up here at McDonald's or any, you know,
right,
any Americanized saying the same things. They don't have the mantra of Inshallah, whereas, you know, it is Allah's will.
Right.
They are, well, it might be Allah's will, but, you know, my daughter graduates next month, so I want to be around for that, you know.
Right.
One thing, Mike, when I was in Russia, you know, and I talked to some of their, right in Red Square, this was back years ago, but they said, you know what, we admire the American people. Watch this story. The story was, he goes, oh, you play football? Yeah. I said, you know what, we don't have football in Russia. He said, that teaches discipline. You got these kids playing from 12 years old up. They understand how to work as a team. They understand how to function as a team. They understand, you know, aggressiveness. Your people are very aggressive. And they said, we believe that's one of the great factors of America, because your sports teach people to compete. And I believe that, you know, even when you're out there, you know, we shouldn't be there to break even.
No,
we fight a war.
Well, and by the way, since Putin's been running things over there now, he's been running the show over there now for 20 years. Guess what the fastest growing sport in Russia is?
Me. Football?
American style football, yes.
I wonder if I should go over coach. I'll tell you, I hear those white Russians, the big blondes with the. Hey, I'm Lance from.
Lance. Oh, my goodness. So. Once again, the book is called The Complete Infidel's Guide to ISIS. It's by Robert Spencer, and I highly suggest you get your hands on a copy of it. And I do think that DJ's suggestion to replay that interview on Sunday night was so good. I think I will
do
that.
Yep.
So we'll figure out where we can stick that into the lineup on Sunday night. And don't forget, once again, Armed American Radio, Saturday at 3 o'clock, they're going to have Mike McBath, Colonel Danny McKnight.
I'm a general anyway, come on.
on their show. And the Arms Room guys are going to be at our Spaghetti Challenge, so you'll have a chance to meet these guys. And don't forget, they got a great gun shop. They can get you just about any gun you want, plus they can build you guns, right?
That's exactly right. Out in 19048 East Colonial Drive in Orlando, we're actually registered as an ISIS welcome center also. So if you are just arriving, come on in, introduce yourself. We've got everything to take care of.
You got the reception reception. Yeah.
All taken care of.
Now, you also do gun shows.
Yes, sir.
What's the next one coming up?
Next one coming up is October 3rd and 4th at the Orlando Live Events, which is the old Orlando Hi-Li.
Orlando High Line.
436, 1792 at the Orlando High Line.
And then I'll call that Orlando Live. And that's a weekend, not this weekend, but next weekend.
Yeah, so 10, 11 days, something like that from now.
October 3rd and 4th, and that's what, 9 to 5 each day?
9 to 5 on Saturday. It is 10 to 4 on Sunday. $6 to get in, $55 concealed weapons classes while you're there.
Wow, that's a good price for those concealed weapons classes.
Yeah,
Mike, you got your concealed weapons.
I got my concealed weapons, but see, I'm a pheasant hunter and a duck hunter and all that, from Pennsylvania and South Jersey. But now,
by the way, they got a lot of stuff at these gun shows. More than just guns. Oh, yeah. You got self-defense items.
Vehicle you need.
Yeah. You got survival guides. I mean, yes. People with books and things like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, how to start a fire. And
I wouldn't be surprised if Robert Spencer's book even.
Water cleaner, like if you need a drink out of a
lake.
Right.
Oh. Yeah.
But you know what? When you read that book, one second after, you might think about buying this stuff.
Listen, there's guys at the show. In fact, Kevin on our program. He is very much into the preparedness and things that happen in one second after. Kevin could sit here and tell you for an hour how to avoid an EMP, how to protect yourself and your family from it. He's got some great little tips, and they sell those items at these gun shows.
Yeah.
You know, and more people are becoming aware of that threat and that possibility.
Yeah.
I mean, capitalism
has kind of taken the reins and saying, look, we'll provide.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it's a great thing.
No, I have you drink out of the water, you do
it. That's it.
You know, I have canned goods. And you got.
Well, you'll never go hungry. You got, three horses?
Don't say that. They're untouchable. My daughter will be out protecting them.
it's definitely a distinct threat. And unfortunately, the next president is going to find himself with one huge problem over there in the Middle East.
I was just wondering, Mike, do you know how many guns would be in circulation? Was there ever been like any type of guess how much is out there? I mean,
yeah, we actually talked about this within the past couple of weeks. The current estimate is somewhere around 350 million firearms in the country.
In how many households?
You're looking at about, I think the number was somewhere in the 30 to 40%. It's kind of like cars. Those that have them have two or three.
Right. And that would be the average.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
it's a nice number.
It's almost identical to the number of cars in the country. It's very strange when we started doing our research on it. They all run about one per citizen.
Is that
is
right?
Now, there's obviously not one in everybody's home. It's one of those things where some states you just can't have them at all. It's impossible to get them.
Right.
But it's about 350 million when we looked at it.
And, of course, you hear the liberals and they go, how can we have that many guns? And you know, I was listening to Michael Medved, I think it was a week or so ago as I was coming to do the show, and I talked about this a little bit on Monday's show. He talked about some statistics out which show that actually the murder rate in many of our cities has actually gone down over the last 20 years. While the gun ownership rate has gone up.
Right. As legal gun ownership goes up, violent crime goes down.
Right. And they didn't really make that connection.
Yeah.
But I thought it's quite obvious. You got people out there protecting themselves.
Check out crimeresearch.org. That's John Lott's organization, crimeresearch.org. John does all of that information to counter Bloomberg and the crazy moms against everything and put out good information.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll have more with Mike of Arms Room Radio. And don't forget to catch his show every Saturday at 3 p.m. on AM 660 The Answer and FM 105.5. back. That's right, folks. One more segment for tonight. Thanks for being with us. 407-774-8255 is the number. You better call right now, though, because that clock is ticking down rapidly.
I'll tell you, you know, we were talking about the gun show.
Yeah.
And again, Chris, I don't know if you've been to gun shows, but these things are so packed with people. I'll never forget the first one I went, because people kept telling me about it. I'm like, I don't know. So I finally drive over. It's like 2,000 people there. It was insane. Plus, they have good entertainment. It's just fun. It's really a very, it's a fun afternoon.
Go ahead.
And it's fun if you're just a people watcher, too, right, to watch the crowds.
It's great.
Yeah, I went to one, I think about a year ago, when you did it at Orlando Live, the High Life Ronton.
That's right, yeah.
And I didn't know really what to expect when I went in there. But actually, I thought it was a great setting.
Yeah, it was great. Show.
It's all air conditioned. It's very comfortable.
Yep.
I believe they even have a refreshment bar up front.
They sure do.
So it's really a great venue for this. And that's not this weekend, but next weekend, the 3rd and 4th at Orlando Live Events, the old High Life Ronton there in Fern Park. And 9 to 5 Saturday, 10 to 4 Sunday, $6 admission. And it'd be a great gun show.
Hey, Chris, when you say refreshment bar, it's not liquor.
No. This is stuff you put ketchup and mustard on. I haven't seen you put ketchup and mustard in your martinis yet. But and by the way, Arms Room Radio, they do repair guns out there. Any gun? Can you repair any gun?
Pretty much any gun. There hasn't been one yet that we have turned away.
You know, I used to watch this show, and I haven't seen it for a while on A&E, and it was this guy and I believe his family, and they cleaned and built the guns, and they oftentimes had fully automatic machine guns on there that people owned that they would fix up. I thought automatic guns were not allowed.
No new automatic machine guns are allowed to be made for civilian consumption after 1986. If you could find the ones made before that, you could legally own them. The prices, it's a supply and demand thing.
Right.
So the prices of them went from something that cost $500 back then and now cost up to $25,000,
$30,000. Right,
right. So if you've got the extra money to throw them around, they're easy to get.
Can you find like the shell of one and have it rebuilt?
If you find one that was registered prior to 1986, absolutely can be rebuilt.
And with registered, you mean serial numbers and all that?
Yeah, reported to the ATF and you paid your $200 tax stamp for it.
All right. We got JJ back on the line, and she has a question for you, Mike, from the gun store. Mike is on the line for you, JJ.
Oh, hey. Yeah, I just wondered, first of all, I just wanted to say I had to run into a store, and when I came out, Mike was talking, and I thought it was a Chris Christie clip because you sound so much like him.
He looks a little bit like him. I don't know. A bit taller.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm from that part of the world, so I get that sometimes.
He's a Jersey boy.
I just wanted to say, where is that class, the concealed carry class that you were talking about?
Come out to the gun show. It's the weekend of the 3rd and 4th. That's Saturday and Sunday, so it's about 10 days away.
Yep.
It's at the Orlando High Live, which is now Orlando Live Events. It's the old High Live Ronton.
Fern Park.
We have 436, 1792. I believe the classes are 11 a.m.
Yeah,
and 2 p.m.
Yeah, I saw David Bowie there, yeah.
What's that?
3rd and 4th.
You saw who there?
David Bowie.
You know, I saw you too there, as did his partner, Kevin Maxwell. We didn't know each other at the time, but we saw you too at there. It was a great concert, too.
That's funny. Yeah. But Chris, you're so right. We're being conditioned with this kid with the bomb, or the clock, rather, that looked like a bomb.
Yeah.
And I heard it. Anyway, I just think that it was like supposed to be sort of a detonate, just sort of a explosive in a detonator or something. And I think they're faking us out, trying to mock us, like, new phobic people.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that make us look like the bad ones. Make us look like the bad guys, along with like Ben Carson. To my understanding, Mike, and tell me if I'm wrong, but to my understanding, I heard one guy on Fox say the only thing this thing was missing to be an actual bomb was an explosive.
That's what I heard. That's what it looked like to me.
Oh, so it was definitely a timing device that could be used for a bomb.
Yeah, that's the way it was set up.
Yeah, so
had to be a setup that they did. That's terrible.
Yeah, the concealed weapons classes are $55, and that's a bargain there. That's the best deal in town. And they're both Saturday and Sunday?
Both Saturday and Sunday, 11 and 2 on both days.
Okay.
And actually, I saw a lot of women.
Do you have to have a gun to take a concealed weapon permit?
No, absolutely not. You can come on out and just learn about the law.
Learn about the law in case you want to get a gun.
Exactly. The class is about 75% learning about the law and 25% gun safety. This is the initial minimums you need to get a concealed weapons permit. And, of course, we're always going to recommend additional training after to get more proficient with what you have.
Do you have a gun range out there?
we don't have a gun range out there, and that's just because of some environmental issues with in the past and with that part of the neighborhood.
Right. Okay. But there are gun ranges here in town.
Absolutely. Some good gun ranges here in town.
Yeah, absolutely. So, JJ, we'll see you over at the gun show.
Okay, can I just say one more thing?
You sure can.
Did you all hear Obama before he introduced the Pope, and he said, we're all children of God, including Christians.
I know it.
Like, I made an assumption that Christians were. You didn't have to say that.
I mean, here he is, an American president talking to Americans,
my.
And he says that?
Well,
it's unbelievable.
It is.
Including Christians.
It is. Wow. And it's not hard to figure out why a lot of people think he's a Muslim. So when he goes saying stupid stuff like that, it sure leads to that impression. There's no question about that. Barack Obama, you know, I see him as doing all this. You know, he's up to no good. The Pope, though, I think the Pope's just a tool in all this. And I don't think, you know, I know the Pope comes from Argentina and Juan Perón and all that stuff down there. But I think he's just being used. And if the Islamic State has their way, they'll use him for some butcher practice. So we shall see. But, JJ, thanks for being out there. We appreciate your call. And we're just about out of time for tonight. But don't forget, our spaghetti eating contest is coming up Monday at Cafe Positano. Now, if you folks want to make sure you have a table that night, because it's sure to be packed. You want to make a reservation. You don't have to, but it might make it easier for you. You can call Cafe Positano at 407-774-8080. And by the way, you can make a reservation there any night, in the casual dining area or the fine dining area or at the bar, because they have it all. That's 407-774-8080, Cafe Positano, and please come out and join us Monday. And tomorrow night's the weigh-in.
I know. We're going to have some characters here tomorrow night. So Reggie's going to be here,
Reggie
and he's
going
to be issuing further challenges. If anybody else wants to step up to the plate,
we got room.
Reggie will be there. But I think Mike's going to give
more.
Him a run.
We got pretty much a full table now. We're up to, it looks like, 9 contestants.
Do you think they'll be bred, too, if they want to get, if there's...
I don't think they're going to grab a piece of bread,
do you?
I don't think that will be recommended. But listen, it's going to be a lot of fun. There's no cover charge. There will be entertainment. We got a jazz musician, a trumpeter who's going to play for us. Grant Malloy's threatening to bring out his banjo, and little picking and grinning. And we're going to also draw for our...
The cruise.
That's right. The cruise. One of our American Adversaries Army members is going to be able to go on our Come Sail Away With Me cruise in November for free. So if you're not a member of the Army, you will have until Monday to sign up. We'll take entries right up to the contest time, but you have to go to AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, which is our website, and then just click on over to the recruiting office, and you can do it either right there with your computer, or it explains how you can do it through the mail. We'll take your membership either way. But if you're going to do it through the mail, you got to do it early enough that we'll get it so that we know Monday to put you in that drawing. So please do come on out. Mike, you're going to be there, right?
I will be there.
So you'll be able to meet the arms room guys. If you have any questions about weapons, these will be the guys to ask, and they'll be there.
They'll have on a bright red outfit. You'll be.
And by the way, Scott Miller of My Liberty Threads is going to be there with some My Liberty Threads for sale. And so it's going to be a lot of fun.
I'm thinking of wearing my Hillary for Prison t-shirt,
better.
Too.
You better, because people want to see that. They've already heard about it. They want to see it. So come on out and join us. And don't forget to join us once again tomorrow night for the big weigh-in. And don't forget, Arms Room Radio, Saturdays at 3, this Saturday at, you said 3:15, Colonel McKnight is going to be on?
3:15
on Arms Room Radio. And don't forget the gun show a week from this weekend, October 3rd and 4th, at Orlando Live, the old High Life Fronton in Fern Park. That's going to wrap it up for tonight, everybody. Thanks, gentlemen. Night, everybody.
News, opinion, passion. FM 105.5, AM 660. The Answer. WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando.